Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Here's my glove.
What he really wants to know is if you could work with him a little bit, maybe in some
true.
Ground balls.
I'm not saying he's an idiot.
Yeah, can I come out there like beforehand? What is it, a fungo thingy? What is that thing?
Does Fourier have the attention span for a 3.5 hour baseball game?
I saw a bear swimming in a pool today.
Samoa starts on one side. They start doing their haka.
Birdhouses. But he doesn't call them birdhouses.
No.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
Are you worried that Jalen kind of put a target on you guys a little bit by speaking out?
I saw that you felt like you had to apologize on Twitter. Don't apologize, Jason. That was Jalen, that was freaking phenomenal.
I don't apologize for, you know, what I said. I have belief in my teammates, and I have belief in this team.
Does that motivate you, bro?
It does, and it doesn't.
That was trick.
I happen to...
Can we stop? This is unbelievable.
Trick question. You're trying to get me to say something.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Kind of like Lou doing the...
Oh!
I don't know about you. I kind of enjoyed it.
Can you bring some energy, please?
What? I liked it.
Can you bring
it.
Some
it's pretty
energy?
Good.
He's all dolled up. Look
I know.
At him.
Isn't that you?
It looks like a fat midget Ken doll.
Oh, that's you. That's
like, right? It's like an older, fatter 70s porn stash Ken doll.
Earl doll.
What were you, kissing babies and shaking hands? What were you doing?
Five PC violations
what?
In one sentence.
What were you doing?
Where are you coming from?
So, no, this was a...
You were late. We locked you out and you broke through like a big giant bear.
You can't
trying to
me.
Lock his
you
big butt out.
Christian put a stick at the door so he couldn't walk in. All you hear is crack. He busted through
well,
that
Well, you know
thing.
What he did is that he used his weight and he leaned on the door.
Yeah.
And of course,
he got leverage. You know, he got leverage.
It's not a steel rod.
Strength and muscle.
Leverage.
That's what that's
all
called.
Those years working with Smurlis. Yeah. Get low. Use your leverage.
You gotta bend your knees.
Come on.
All right, go ahead.
So I was I was over at the Brigham and Women's Hospital for a doctor's seminar, and my wife spoke. She spoke for 20 minutes, and she was unbelievable.
Very nice.
She was terrific, unbelievable. Harvard Medical, you know. And,
look at her big shot.
So I've been with doctors for 2 hours. I don't need
you
your
right?
for the next four.
Well, no, I just like you and Bill are kind of the same. You know, your wife's got you right here, but it got on the hook.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want you to come to this. You go to this.
Yeah.
Oh, my name is the dog, Jack. The dog's name is not Jack.
Oh, my God. Don't even go there. You want to start?
Yeah, go ahead. Start.
You want to start?
Go ahead. Bring it right now.
Because I know there are certain times that you wanted to do certain things, and Kim said, nope, I'm not doing them.
I do whatever I want. Whenever I want, for how long as I want.
You name all the dogs, all the kids, all that stuff. You like Bill. They does everything.
I get to
they
stay
do
up.
Everything.
Sometimes she lets me stay up past 9 if I'm really good.
See what I mean?
As long as I rub her feet.
But my wife was great today. She had a terrific
excellent.
Speech.
Sure she was.
She was absolutely brilliant, something I couldn't do. And so I was a couple seconds late, but Lou bailed my ass out.
Yeah, that's why I was doing trending.
Yeah, he did trending.
I did outstanding.
Might be a little too much, heavy lifting for you.
I was late
fella.
Once. Like, I wasn't even full-time here. I remember, like, you may have been off that day.
Technically, I wasn't late here. I'm not late.
I remember them telling me that, like, we're going to make some changes. We might bring in Christian. You know, I don't know. We'll see what he's like. I don't know. You know, I don't know what he wants to do, if he really wants to do this or not. I'm not sure if he's really committed. You know, we'll see what happens. So the first time they put him on, he's like a half hour late.
It was bad. There was like a funeral.
Half hour late, like, that ain't going to work.
Some cop got shot.
Then I met
Ben's
and I said, we're screwed.
Yeah. It was, no.
Typical, this guy don't show up on
typical
time.
X-jack.
This guy's an ass.
The anxiety that I had driving in that one day was I was taking pictures of the traffic because I felt like when people say they're late, oh, it's traffic, I don't believe them because everybody has an excuse. Oh, I got a flat tire. I don't believe you. Show me the tire iron. Show me your car.
And what'd you say? Somebody died?
There was a cop that died. It was like five
years
ago.
I don't believe it.
He came back the next day with all the information of the guy.
Thank you very much.
Investigation.
Look, I've never been late.
Because you didn't
police
believe
report.
Yourself.
Never been late.
You needed to get the evidence because you did not believe in yourself that day.
So you missed like everything that we're going to talk about.
Go ahead. You lead the show. No, you lead the show today.
I am going to lead the show.
I'm going to let you lead the show.
I am going to lead the show because I think you need a second.
Go.
You need a second.
Glenn, follow our lead.
And by the way, Andy's having some problems in the other team. Can't play commercials. So maybe you go 45, 50 minutes.
Oh, that's
easily,
good.
Yeah. Easily. That's good.
What do you want to start with?
Saturday night, baby. Christian, what are we talking about?
You and I. Look at me. Look at me. You and I. He can chime in. Go ahead. Come over here. Where do you want to go?
Go ahead.
What do you think?
I'm going to start with David Price.
Oh, why not?
And I'm going to start with David Price because I'm here to tell you.
He's good.
David Price is the savior nobody expected. He is the one that everybody pooped all over, crapped all over. Said he's a funny man, you especially.
Yeah,
I mean,
funny
he's basically
man.
John Farrell to you, basically the way you've been riding this guy.
Comedy.
And a lot of it has been deserved.
I ride him when he makes stupid comments that I don't like.
But
I
want to
talk about his pitching.
But what is he
doing
now?
I talk about him being outstanding.
When we said we would give him a pass,
it's
when
called
he
balance.
Did what? When he did what? When did we say we were going to give David Price a pass? But you can say all the stupid stuff you want.
When he wins in the postseason.
We said you're out. Said you're out.
Well, you asked the question, and Lou wasn't going to answer
rhetorical
it.
Rhetorical question.
So I had to jump in with my buzzer.
No, I was trying to figure out.
I'm in my buzzer.
I was trying to figure out if you're talking about, like, you know, did this happen like a month ago? We said, okay, we'll give you a pass. Or like Glenn points out, it's going to create one of these scenarios to where I don't think anybody, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say everybody, but there might be a couple people that are rooting for him to lose in the postseason. But I don't think the majority of people, I don't think anybody's really wanting him to lose in the postseason. It might continue the narrative and people might have fun with that. But everybody wants him to go out and win. So if he goes out and throws a good game, you know, and wins a ball game in the postseason, it's going to be like, aha, now what do you think of him? And so, you know what I mean? Like, so to me, it's somebody that's like, Sandy Leone. That's like 0 for 30. And you're like, guy can't hit. And he goes out and gets a hit. And he's like, aha. Well, it doesn't erase the 0 for 30. You know, it was good reason not to believe in it. So I hope he goes out and throws a good game in the playoffs. I hope he wins. And when he does, it shouldn't be an aha moment for him. If anything else, it should be monkey off the back and just be like, okay, I'm good. I can move forward. And because he has to show it, and people have to see it. That's all.
No, and I'm here. I'm openly. I feel like you have to almost whisper it if you try to say it out loud. Like, I want David Price to be successful here.
Well, because you're a Red Sox fan.
He's a jerk, though.
It's
he's
like,
a wimp.
Like
he's entitled.
Trump.
He has a stupid dog and a stupid dog name, and he's a wimp, and blah, blah, blah. Like, the guy is, since the All-Star break, and say what you want about him, and, you know, carpal tunnel, whatever, it did not go bad. But to me, if he can finish it, if he can be the reason that they keep going in the playoffs, it's a great story.
I came here to win.
It's a great story. It is. And I'm rooting for him.
He's been,
and I never
he's
root
been
for
great
anybody.
He's been great since the All-Star break.
I also rooted for Hanley. We saw that one. Maybe this is bad for David Price.
Well, you root for Jackie, and he sort of
I did root for Jackie.
He's
been
things
okay.
Out
that
bit.
Is okay.
He's
that
even
is
things out.
Balanced it a little bit. No, I think when it comes down to David Price, it still comes down to what he does in the postseason.
Unfortunately for him,
actually, what he said 2 days ago was the most honest he's talked since he's been
honest.
Here.
He says that every year, though.
No, yeah.
He has said that before. I need to win the postseason. You know, I know with regular season, I have to win the postseason. So this is something he's admitted, and he said it before. It's just that, like I said, sometimes that message gets lost. Because all we do is play about the joke. You know, at the end of the soundbite, we play the joke about Fortnite.
I got 2 wins.
You know what I mean? And then
just,
we talk.
Not as a starter.
Yeah, we talk about that for like the next 3 hours. But meanwhile, earlier in the soundbite, he acknowledges that he knows he's going to win the postseason. But what he's doing right now, I mean, it is fun to watch. He's not doing it like Sale with 98, 99 slider changeup, making guys look foolish. He's freezing guys because he's all, I don't want to say all over the map, but if I'm a hitter, he is all over the map. I don't know what the hell he's going to do to me. He might come in on me one at bat, and then I'm like, oh, he's setting me up for this changeup, and then paint in on a fastball. Or he might be thinking, he's setting me up with this cutter in, or fastball in, and then paint down and away with a backdoor cutter.
He's pitching now, Lou. That's what he's doing.
And he's changing
pitching.
It up. There's right. No pattern. You know, remember when he got bombed by the Yankees? And he was getting beat against the Yankees with those 5 home runs. I still say one of them was a bad pitch. The other ones, you go look. They were cutters down and in off the plate. Fastballs down and in off the plate, oppo. He was predictable. You know, there was a hot zones, red zones all over the place, down and in. They said eventually he's going to come here. And I think the Astros knew the same thing. Eventually he's going to come here. You know, well, he was different in that game out of the bullpen. But and he was predictable. Now he's not. Like, for example, be a hitter. You're a right-handed hitter. Okay, look at the outer half. All right, he could throw a little two-seamer right there in the outer half or a four-seamer. Then he can go cutter that starts off the plate, that comes in on it. Then he can throw a changeup that seems to be on the plate and fades away from it. So now on just the outside corner, he's got something that comes in on you, got something that comes away from you, and something that goes straight by you. So he's just, and then the next at bat, he'll do the same thing, but to the other side of the plate to you in. It's fun to
watch. Yeah, he had one that came back into the strike zone last night that the umpire missed in that last
inning.
Oh, my God,
it was awful.
Inning.
The one,
that was
one pitch.
Awful. Terrible. But
Christian,
he's been great. He's been tremendous. And I think we're all feeling more encouraged about him in the postseason. But let me ask you this, big fella. Will you go to Vegas and drop a few bucks down that he goes and wins in the postseason?
Yes.
Okay, because he's shown this before.
Yes.
And then he gets to the postseason and something happens.
I thought you'd say that. I'm encouraged.
Did he walk right into you?
I feel better.
Did he walk right into it?
I didn't think I was going to be talking to him, though. I thought I'd be talking to you.
What is his team, 0-11 in the postseason?
He does not have great postseason numbers. I get it.
Great. Horrendous.
I'm his spokesperson now.
Okay, go.
So when you mess with him, you mess with me.
Go ahead. Right, here it is.
Okay, Astro.
Okay. Is there any correlation? Could you draw any correlation to the amount of innings that he's thrown over the past whatever 4 or 5 years from Detroit to Toronto to Boston and look at some sort of fatigue? And this year, maybe being hurt and maybe having the carpal tunnel and maybe being beamed by the ball is a good thing for him. He's fresh. And I know Alex Cora has been talking about it since the beginning of the season. We're going to manage these guys. Well, he got the benefit of not only being managed by Cora as far as rest goes, but also getting days off because he got hurt.
Yeah, but
and he doesn't have a real injury like Chris Sale, where he needs an injection or needs some sort of manual therapy. He just had to just chill. So his mechanics and his shoulder, none of that stuff is affected. It's probably stronger than it's ever been. You ever seen that movie, The Rookie, where the kid falls down, like, bam, you know, like, hurts his arm? Like, that's David Price. Yeah, and he makes that noise.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with your argument.
Am I on to anything with that?
Well, there's one flaw in your argument.
He didn't do the research. He didn't get the right stats.
Look at that.
I'm just saying, 2015,
yeah,
when he went 18-5 with a 2.45 ERA, was runner-up to Cy Young at Dallas Keuchel. He was traded to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto's in a pennant race. So there are some big games that he had to pitch in. It's not, I understand, a postseason different level, but September for Toronto, those are some big games. So in his first 10 starts for Toronto, he went 8-1 with a 1.95.
Yes.
That's the year he threw 220 innings. It's a lot of innings.
Yeah.
Okay, so the whole arm, rest, fatigue thing, this is only 2 years ago.
Okay, that was regular season, though, when he got traded, right?
He went 8-1 with a 1.95. Now, his last start, I think, was just more of a throwaway, low pitch count thing. He got hit, give up 4 runs in 5. But for the first 10, you know, he had a 1.95 ERA for Toronto. They're looking at him saying, oh, my God, we hit it rich. Like, we have got the guy. We're going to the postseason. We traded for our ace. We are a bunch of geniuses for getting this guy. And he rolled in game one of the ALDS against Texas. And he went 7 innings. He gave up 5 runs, gave up 2 bombs. And by the way, hit 2 guys in 1 game. So you talk about, like, is he rattled? He hit 3 guys all year that year. 3 all year.
Okay.
He had a 1.95 for this team down the stretch.
I hear you.
And he rolled in, and he gave up 5 earned runs, I think in the first 5 innings, and then gave him a couple scoreless after that. 2 bombs. So the guy they got, the guy they saw down the stretch, the guy that they sat there and said, this guy's money. I don't care what his record's been in the past. He is pitching at a different level right now. Watch out. 7 innings, 5 runs.
Okay, I understand that part, but when I look at that, I think of our boy Max Kellerman when he says this about Tom Brady.
Here comes the cliff.
So that was a regular season cliff into the postseason. So I'm drawing a comparison. I'm trying to draw some sort of comparison to.
It's not working.
Okay,
so well
he was.
For you.
Well, I mean, it is what it is.
Cliff,
right?
Cliff.
So you fight until you die.
Lou just gave you 1 year.
That's 1 year.
I'll give you a few more.
It's 1 year.
His Septembers have been really good. So if you're going to tire out, Chris Sale has to look
at this year for what it is. Don't compare this year, because I feel like this year is an outlier.
Only
it's
because
different
you, only because
the way
you want
it
to. Only because you
want it to. This is what he needed. He needed this. He needed this, you know, self-imposed break with getting hit in the crop. It almost got embarrassed.
Yeah, but I don't think it has anything to do.
I think he got shamed more than ever, and it forced him to be a little bit more resilient, even though he didn't want to. Even though he didn't want to, like, you know, get in line with the media.
You really
want to
like
him.
I can tell you're really working hard
to end this
one.
Well.
But Christian,
numbers don't work for you.
But I'm saying, countering your argument, I'm not sitting here and saying that he's going to get bombed in the postseason.
Maybe great this year.
I have absolutely no idea. But I hate when I hear people say, but he's throwing so well right now, it's going to translate. If that's your reasoning why you think he's going to do well, then it's not good reasoning. Because I just told you, like, he has had many times when he's gotten hot. Glenn, you're right, and late in the month.
Remember, I'm looking at September's right now. September ERA's been great.
I mean, remember how good he was after those first seven starts his first year here?
Yeah.
He had an ERA of like 3 and like 28 starts, 3.2. I mean, he was really good for this team in 2016, three quarters of the year. And he went 3 1/3 and gave up 5 runs against Cleveland. You know, in the second inning, he gave up a 3-run bomb to Chisenhall to make it 4-0. That game is over. You put your guy out there who's been throwing the ball well against Cleveland, the second inning, you're already down 4-0. That game is over. So I'm not saying you can't do it. I hope he does do it.
But he hasn't.
And he's pitching at a high level right now. But if you're reasoning that you think he's going to throw well because he's throwing well right now, it's don't go there.
We should, Christian. There are no signs right now that tell you that he's going to be a pitch well in October because we've seen it before. He's pitched well down the stretch in September. Once he gets to a game that suddenly is not on the 162 schedule, regular season schedule, and it becomes a postseason game, he falls apart.
I get it. He's got 73 career innings in the postseason, 8 starts. He has a 5.03 ERA. I get it.
I'm hoping with you. No, they need him. Without him, they're done.
He's the best guy you have right now. Right. He's the only guy, based on what's going on with Chris Sale, and we talked about it yesterday, how the timing's all screwed up, and he's going to be able to get to 100 pitches, he's going to get to a 6th or 7th inning. Who knows? David Price, especially after yesterday's performance, and I saw this. This is another cue, another sign. Actually, Alex Speer had this. So the Sox have had 3 1-0 wins this year, and Price has started every single one of them.
Okay.
So when I look at that, to me, that is a high circumstance, difficult situation, no room for error type of situation where you need to be focused the entire time. I'm not saying it's like this big beacon of hope, but when it comes to reading the signs,
have a beacon of hope.
And I think that's he's building on it. He is the hope. He's got hope written on his forehead.
Okay, but he's built on it before.
I couldn't see it before, but there it is.
The argument you're trying to make is one of an individual who is hoping and praying that this will be the year that he can convert what he's doing in the regular season to the postseason. And God love you. Enjoy your hope. Enjoy,
I'm going to be Mr. Positive.
Pray daily.
You can be your
for him.
Crotchety, get off my lawn, old guy.
You haven't thrown any evidence out there.
I just gave you another one.
No, there was zero evidence you've thrown out there.
Oh, it's hope.
That gives us, other than hope, that gives us an indication that we're seeing a different David Price that will convert in the postseason.
Okay. None. If David Price is a stock, okay, he's not performed in the past, and you've been losing money left and right, and you've done all the forecasts, and you've looked at the years before, and you're trying to draw some correlation
He's due.
I love the two arguments.
Stop it. No, I'm not going to do that. As to why? No, I'm asking Lou a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. What is happening this year that is different? Just personally.
Oh, you're talking about stocks. Let's talk about stocks.
Hold on, but you got to bring in everything in his life. Okay. And you got to you can't be so just close-minded, Lou, okay? You got to like look at the big picture and try to see the forest through the trees.
His stock is growing right now. There's no question about it.
People love him.
But when the regular season is over, let's see, October 4th, the night before the first playoff game, if he gets game 1, think of like a stock where like a bad financial report comes out.
And like
For one day, it's like the stock drops. The stock just plummets because of this bad financial report. That's October 4th because the next day is game 1 of the playoffs. So he needs to get through that. And that, I understand that this is the best he has ever looked as a member of the Boston Red Sox. Like I said, it is fun to watch. And that is why people say, this is different. And it could be. But I tell you, that ALDS, man, in 2015 is still stuck in my head. Do you guys remember what happened in Game 4 down in Texas? They were up 2-1, I believe. No, they were down 2-1 going to Texas. They were up 7-1 in the 5th inning.
Yeah.
7-1.
Yeah.
They were about to force a Game 5 right back in their own place. And they brought Price out of the bullpen and gave game 5 to Marcus Stroman, the rookie. Yeah. And you're sitting there going, 7-1. You got the kid who's going to maybe win the Cy Young, or at least be runner-up to the Cy Young. You're up 7-1. You don't want him for game 5? And they brought him in, and he still gave up 3 runs and made it actually a ball game during that thing. But I remember sitting there going, man, they don't want to give him the ball. They don't want to give him game 5 because you're up 7-1. You're not up 3-2, and you're saying, hey, if it's 3-2, I got it. I understand that. You go to Price and you say, you got to shut him down, big fella. You're our best pitcher. We need to force a game five. But 7-1? And you use him? Because you didn't want to use him in game five.
And Christian,
that was damaging.
Yeah, it was. It's got nothing to do with his physical ability. He clearly has it. He, when he wants to be, is a great pitcher. There's no question about it. What happens in the postseason is all between the ears. And he's got to get over that. That's on him.
Well, that's why
physically,
I like
not
the
an
one
issue.
Nothing. That's why I like the one nothing.
No,
games.
I do too.
That is
but
a sign.
Let's see him do it in the postseason.
Because that is all between the ears.
Postseason,
you know,
against good
it's
lineup.
It's a pitching duel. You know, and either team is getting any hits. You have to keep going out there and keep it where it is. And you get the lead, you got to keep it and just. Okay, it's not perfect. Okay. But when you know to lose point, this is the best he's looked
it
as
is.
A Red Sox.
No
you're
question.
Sitting there, you're trying to say, well, this is the way, the reason why. It's
but other
different.
Guys have gone through this. Randy Johnson went through this, right? Where Randy Johnson was having great regular seasons, and he was struggling in the postseason, and then finally the bulb went off,
he
figured it out. That's what this guy has to figure it out. The one thing he's done is he's reinvented himself. Lou was talking about that earlier. It's no question he's reinvented himself. He can't throw with the velocity he threw a few years ago. And it's working. But the postseason? Listen, we can hope all we want, and that's all we have right now. But I don't think you have any evidence or any statistics.
I just gave you some.
None of them were. Lou just knocked them out of the box.
First of all, they were more questions. They didn't knock anything out. First of all,
it's hope. We're all hoping.
Too old.
Let's all hope.
Thank you, Ty.
We're 9-3 mile an hour forcing it down.
Take my shirt off, too.
No,
put a T-shirt on.
You guys just won't want to believe. I'm going to believe is what I'm going to do. That is what I'm going to do.
Well, it's great. It's great.
You know, because he's going to be the reason this team does something.
He's had a few good starts. You know, like Randy Johnson, I think somebody mentioned Clemens, and, you know, took him a while, and you kind of ripped that apart because there's a difference between losing. I think if David Price goes out there, like he did in one of these games that he lost, I think, in Detroit against Baltimore, and goes 8 innings, 2 runs, and you lose 2-1, you should praise David
Price.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know
won't
what
be
mean?
His fault. That
so
will
what
not
I'm saying.
Be his
so
fault.
That, there's a difference. So when Roger Clemens was struggling winning games, if you remember, I think we were talking about his ERA was like under a 3.
He got thrown out of a game. Got thrown
right.
out of a game in
so
Oakland.
So Randy Johnson, you know, he had a stretch where he lost like 4, 5, 6 playoff games in a row. And we said, what is going on with the unit? You know, 7 1/3, 3 runs. 8 innings, 3 runs. 8 innings, 2 runs. 6 innings, 1 run. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he pitched well,
you know what I mean?
He just didn't win.
If you throw well and lose, that's one thing.
But that's not the David
Price
story.
But when you got a 6 ERA and you don't win a game, that means you ain't throwing the ball well. It isn't every game. He had that year I talked about in 2015, he came back and threw in the ALCS against the Royals. And I don't know if you remember or not, but I think he had a no-hitter or one-hitter after 6. And then it was a little bloop, first hit, maybe it was like a little bloop to right that dropped that shouldn't have, and they scored 5 on his ass. You know what I mean? So all of a sudden now it's 6 innings, 5 runs. But he did. He had like a no-hitter, I think, after 6. So he's thrown the ball well, but not as consistent as some of these other guys that so-called have struggled in the postseason. You know, Randy and Roger, man, they struggle, but their ERAs are still sitting there at about a 3, not a 6.
Listen, it's a great story, and it's the only story.
No,
and the fact is that he gets
story.
It now.
It
he
could
gets it.
Be a great story.
Well, it is a great story either way.
I don't know if David Price – would you say he's hated? I don't think he's hated.
By
he's
some.
Not, he's, I mean, for what, though? It's not like he's a villain.
No longer
he's
at the ballpark.
He's not a dirty,
no longer
nasty,
at the ballpark, though. Not
no,
at the ballpark.
No, he's not a
standing
villain.
Standing ovation.
So hate, no, I would just say just people, the you know, the fans are different. Like, you know, they're just going to go with wherever the mob's going. If he pitches
I'm
great,
dogs.
They don't really care.
Sure,
but
he's
not hated. He's just, he's more annoying than anything. You know, based on the way, you know, his press conferences, what he
fresh
says.
Fresh cut grass.
Yeah, how he, just his voice, I just inherently, it's just kind of annoying.
Yeah, but I think there's less of that now. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's pitching so well. And he's your best hope in the postseason.
He was fine that first year.
Yeah.
I thought he was fine the first year. People wrote him, and rightfully so. I mean, 4-0, he was 4-0 with a 6-7-5 his first 7. Yeah. He said, what are you doing? But I think we even sat there and said, I'm not worried about David Price.
Right.
Look at the guy's track record. He's going to figure it out. And he did. And I don't think there was much hatred towards David Price year one. And then game one happened. 3 1/3, 5 runs. You know, and you sat there, and then it was all offseason. That's when he was more active on Twitter. And that's when he started kind of fighting back on Twitter a little bit. And it was that next year when he got hurt. That's kind of what buried him. You're still trying to get to know this guy. And he gets hurt, and he's pissed, and he's miserable, and he says some things. He pops off. The Eckersley thing happens, and it snowballs on the kid. So... yeah, I think there are some people out there that just don't like him. I think he's a bad dude.
So there might be, if it's all pressure, And that's what gets to him when he gets to the playoffs. There might be more pressure on him in this year's playoffs. He may be your number one starter, your day one starter. He may be game one starter. And as opposed to Sale going out, pitching well in that first game, you winning it at home, taking a little bit of pressure off you for game two.
That has more to do, I think, with the health of Chris Sale. Because to me, again, like I said, game one, a game two starter, whoever that is, can start game five. So in other words, game two is on normal rest to pitch game five. Game one gets an extra day's rest. So I need to know, you know, how healthy Chris Sale is, because my game one starter might also need to come out of the pen in game four. So can Sale do that? I don't know, because if Price pitches game two and Sale can't do that, I don't know if Price can either. You know what I mean? He might be able to, and then you got to come back with Sale in game five, and you don't know where the health So it's all about health with Chris Sale when you start talking about strategies and who goes game one, who goes game two. Remember last year, was it Terry Francona with Bauer?
Yeah.
I forget who it was, but he started Kimbrel game two.
Kluber. Yeah.
Kluber game two, and the reason was because after the game one starter, Kluber could come back and pitch game five, and after game one, Bauer was going right to the pen. His arm could recover. So he was going to be a reliever in game three, in game four, in game five. And that's why he did that. So there is some strategy in game one, game two, and how you want to use the guy, how you're able to use the guy the rest of the series.
All right, we get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. And down in Jacksonville, this is the biggest game ever, apparently. If you listen to Miles Jack, that's what he's talking about. We'll get to all of that as well. 617-779-7937 right here on OMN.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here in OMF, we started with David Price. Hope, oh, God, everybody wishes, hopes, prays.
100 wins.
That we get David Price in the postseason that you're getting right now, but how confident?
I think I think I'm going to do? Like, his first start, you know what I'm going to do?
What's that?
We're nothing but white.
All right.
And then when I feel like he needs some inspiration right at the perfect time, I'm going to stand up. And hopefully the light will just hit me just right, and he'll look up and he'll be like, thanks, bro. And he'll go in and win the game for you.
Give him a standing O when you're
like,
in
the... Just like the natural.
Maybe you're in foul territory.
That's a movie, you know. Yeah. That's not real.
So what?
Maybe it never happened.
When you're in foul territory with that softball glove of yours, final week, maybe if he throws, you can give him a standing O right in the field.
Yes. Should we need to clarify anything about that whole
They're still working on it right now. But you being a ball girl down in the third base?
Ball man.
Whatever. I mean, what's the gender has to do with it?
Lou is not doing this? Does not want to do this anymore?
You know, I'm very quietly just sort of just laying in the weeds watching all this.
So Lou does not want anything to do with
this. Put it this way, okay? Lou has a lot more to lose in all of this.
So I got more pressure.
If the ball comes down there and Lou mishandles it, can you imagine what the crowd's going to be like? You're like the clown, the village idiot. You're perfect for that. You're like the entertainment, you know? The minor league ballparks have a lot of clowns that come out there and entertain, right?
I've always wanted to be a mascot.
I think that we should get you like a Patriots helmet.
Sure.
Take the Patriots emblem off and put a Red Sox one on. So you can be down there with your little softball glove in uni, by the way, uni. Glove.
Why is that? Why is that a Red Sox football helmet? Like, does it matter if it's a softball? Like, Jess Mendoza is calling baseball games for men in Major League Baseball.
It's
all about unifying the clans, okay? Men and women living together in harmony. Fine.
He is right about that. If Jess Mendoza can do, if she's a softball player, can do, why can't he do that?
Yeah. And so, I mean, point. Did you hear?
No, I told you, the bigger point. The better. So I don't have a problem.
Right?
With it. Yeah.
Okay. And did you hear that there was a.
Where was that in the garage? Was it underneath? What was it? The propane tanks?
It was. You know where it was? It was a boat. It's weird. When you start looking for like odd things that you haven't thought about in years, it's like a bow and arrow, and like with no arrow, a horseshoe, a hand grenade, and a pellet gun. Is that weird?
Clam fork.
Yeah, it's like I don't eat clam. What's that about?
This is going to be good. It's going to be real good.
So let me ask you, because I've heard this. The Red Sox win 100 games last night.
Yes.
And they're going to break the franchise record, 19-12, right? It was 105. Yeah, right. They go 6-10, they're going to break the record.
Yep.
So I think people are confusing, you know, they're trying to downplay the excitement of what 100 wins means. Because what it means to me is that this is a very good team. That you win 100 games by taking care of business, by showing up every single night, never getting too low, and beating the teams you should beat.
Especially Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Beat the teams you should beat. You're better than them, which is impressive because every year there's always teams that are just better and they don't win those games. Right. Look at the Yankees. It's the reason why they are where they are. But I think people are confusing it. Like, all of a sudden, like, it guarantees something. And they're fighting this argument. It doesn't guarantee anything. Let me show you, you know, what teams with 100 wins does. Let me show you what a team that clinches first does. I mean, it doesn't guarantee. But I don't know. Is anybody out there thinking that 100 wins guarantees you a championship? It's just a celebration.
Here's what it does. When you win 100, and you're right, they're going to win 108, 110, whatever. When you do that, the expectations suddenly are ratcheted way up here. So as opposed to winning 88, 89, or even 93. Oh, I don't know whether they can win in the postseason. But when you have 10 more wins than the second-best team in the American League and 15 or 18 more than the other teams that are in the postseason, people are going to look at it expecting this team to go to the World Series. And yet, I think there's zero guarantee, especially when you look at who they have to play. Whether it's the Astros, it's the Yankees.
When the season started, we said they need to win a series. This team is going to get to the postseason. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I thought that they were just like a step below Houston, New York, and Cleveland. But I thought they were a playoff team, you know, and you could argue that maybe they could win the American League East. Who knows, right? But now, and the goal then was, well, they got to win a playoff series. That's not it anymore. I mean, now they better win that first playoff series to me. But people are saying they got to get to the World Series.
See, I think it's very difficult winning that first playoff series, especially when we're talking about the uncertainty right now of Chris Sale.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, of course. I mean, you got to know what's going on with him. But if they don't make the World Series, is it just this whole year? Is it a huge disappointment?
Yes.
Yeah, it will be.
Isn't this the equivalent?
It's all expectations. And they may be phony expectations, but we're treating it differently, aren't we, than a team that wins 93 games?
Yeah. Yes, but to me, when you talk about a disappointment, it's when your team loses to a team you didn't expect them to lose to.
How about the A's? If they lose in the first round of the A's.
That's a huge disappointment. Yeah. First round, I said, it's a huge disappointment. Right. I don't think they should lose to them or the Yankees.
Bunch of 5-11
no, if they lose in the World Series, I'm not going to sit there and just say, you know, they underachieved.
But like two years ago, they lost to the Indians. And Bauer, before he is what he is now, you know, like younger kids struggling to find it. Josh Tomlin and Amon, I sat there and said, there's no way they should get swept by this team. That was a huge disappointment to me. If they go to the ALCS and they lose to the Houston Astros, that's not a huge disappointment because I'm not going to act like I don't know how it's going to happen.
The teams are very similar, though.
We all know how it's going to happen, so why would you be that disappointed or shocked?
Oh, and I would also say, so it's just because Houston doesn't have as many overall wins in the regular season. And so, like, the separation of wins and losses between those two teams doesn't tell me anything. Doesn't tell me that the Red Sox are that much better than the Houston Astros.
I think the Astros are going to be the favorite next series.
No, that's my point. The Red Sox, okay, even with the record, okay, great regular season. But, I mean, I almost look at them as another up-and-coming team. And, oh, by the way, the Patriots, they just kind of, you know, they're 12-4. But they lost two games that they really should have won. So their record is deceiving. They're still a better team than you. Like, the Patriots are going to go down to Jacksonville, and they're going to be favored. Even though Jacksonville's got a really good team, a great defense, and you would think they would have the edge. They're not. So, but I still think it's closer with in baseball, just overall in general.
See, I think if they were to lose to Houston, the disappointment would be in Dave Dombrowski believing that there wasn't anyone out in the trade market that was actually better than what this revolving door has turned into in this bullpen. If that's the reason why they lose, are you going to be disappointed in this team, in the personnel, in Alex Cora, or are you going to sit there and say, well, what did you expect? Yeah, you lost in game 7, but you had the lead in two of these games going into the 7th inning or the 8th inning, and the bullpen didn't hold on to it. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to be – I don't think they have to get to the World Series because I actually agree with Glenn. If they get to the ALCS, they might be underdogs.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
No, I don't think so.
They'll be underdogs to Houston? Absolutely.
Well, I mean, but still. I mean, that's because you know why? Because they won the World Series. No, plus they won the World Series last year. And the Red Sox have been bounced the last 2 years in a row. So, of course, they're going to be favored. They're the more, you know, seasoned
team. But the Red Sox
team.
Will have home field. It'll be even if nothing else. But I just, I don't know. I want to see. I'll be disappointed if they lose in the first round. If they lose to Houston, the ALCS.
If they lose in the first round, they better just all leave town.
Yeah, because even win 120 next year, who cares?
It doesn't matter. Like, nobody cares. This year, as good as this team is, even last year, it's not like 93 wins is something to, you know, poke a stick at.
Yeah, but Christian,
it's not, like
right,
it's not impressive.
But look at Chris Sale. We don't even know what he's going to be like 3 weeks from now. You're already going into a postseason where none of your starters have ever won a playoff game. So they're trying to get over that hump right now. And you're telling me that you think it's going to be easy to win that first round? Against a team like Oakland or a team like the Yankees?
It's never easy. Let's not like downplay it. Okay, but they should win the game.
If sales are 100%.
They are a better team
if he isn't,
than Oakland.
Without Chris Sale? No way.
Well, I mean, now who's playing then? I mean, tell me. I mean, I'm assuming everybody's healthy, okay? Everybody's healthy.
I don't
Chris
think we
Sale's
can do that
healthy.
With Chris
it works
Sale
out.
Right now.
Price is but healthy. Purcell.
But that's part of the equation now. You've got to add that into the equation.
Listen, he's on his way to being healthy, okay? 100% healthy.
I know Oakland's got an unbelievable bullpen, but the goal is to not even allow it to get to that point. You know, Minaya's done for the year, okay? He's out, okay? He's one of the best pitchers. He no-hits your ass. You roll in a series. And if they're going to go with Mike Fiers as their game one starter, or Edwin Jackson, or Trevor Cahill, you better not let that bullpen get a lead. I'm just saying, like, you know, I think they're all okay, but where would any of those guys be in your rotation? You'd be sitting there saying, okay, which one of these guys pitch game four?
With no Chris Sale, Mike Fiers might be your number three starter.
Well, okay, with no Chris Sale. But with Chris Sale... Like, I'm just saying, like, that starting Daniel Megden, you know, it's like those four guys are going to come at you. Like, no, there's no excuse not to. And I respect the hell out of Oakland and what they're doing.
They're tough in that ballpark, too. It's a strange ballpark,
yep,
too.
All 6'2 Caucasians.
They're 6 feet.
But more importantly, like, the bullpen and what Bob Melvin's done with these guys and the platooning them and situations and everything else. I mean, you got to respect that. But that team should not beat the Red Sox in a 5-game series.
Okay.
Not with that rotation.
Let's get to the phone call. 617-779-7937. Here's Andrew down in the Cape. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. So Red Sox just won their 100th win. And, you know, if you look back on this season, I mean, how many awesome moments have there been? I mean, come from behind wins. The offense has been on fire almost the whole season. Do I want them to win the World Series? Of course. But
that was awesome.
Is it going to be a disappointment? No. I mean, this has been an awesome season.
Well, hold on. What if they lose in the first round, Andrew?
Well, if they lose in the first round, I mean, yeah, that's going to be disappointing.
Huge.
I don't think you can take away from what we've seen this season from the Red Sox.
Oh, come on. Andrew, you've been a Red Sox fan for a long time. You know it's going to take away. You know how the fans are going to react here. Do you really believe if they lose in the first round, you're telling me that the fans here are going to sit there and say, but it was wonderful. We won 112 games in 10 games in the regular season. No way.
I mean, yeah, you got a point, but still, how many walk-off wins has there been this season?
It's been a great regular season.
Yes, it's been phenomenal.
It's been fun, but now you've got to win.
And after that Sunday game against New York at the end of September, we can sit there, we can celebrate the regular season, how memorable it was, historic
that was
it
awesome.
Was, all of it, and then realize when you wake up Monday morning that what just happened doesn't matter anymore.
Tell me how they lost. Because something funky will happen in that first round of the playoffs. You know, it always does. Something happens, and you sit there and say, oh, my God. Now, if you're looking at blame pie, the first guy on that list is probably Dombrowski. Probably
if that's that, how that, they lose,
right.
Yes.
Here we are. It's September 12th yesterday, and your manager is out there checking to see if the knuckleball pitcher can pitch in the eighth inning.
Oof.
He's experimenting.
Yeah.
And the experiment looked a little bit shaky for the first two batters.
Again, I've been talking up Stephen Wright as a huge member of this bullpen.
Not in the eighth.
But I've been consistent with that. You know, not just coming in the eighth for an inning. If he wants to pitch the eighth, it's only because he's come in the sixth and he's 1-2-3.
All right.
And then he came in the seventh and it's 1-2-3. Maybe a walk somewhere, you know? Now it's like, you know what? Two good innings. Let's give him another one. He looks good. You know, until the second time through the order comes up, and then we're going to come back with Evaldi at 100. You know what I'm saying? So I don't mind giving him one time through the order if it starts in the sixth, but to come in for just the eighth, that's something that makes me a little bit nervous.
Well, he was experimenting but last night. He told us yesterday he's experimenting, and that's what that was last night. And that's what you're looking forward to in the postseason, and it's trick or treat. Matter of fact, he made a statement when the game was over in the postgame, and he said, you got to be patient with those guys.
You got to turn the other way.
Oh, you can't. No. Not in the playoffs. You don't turn the other way.
Yeah. Oh, I know, but that's the same thing with Wakey. You know, I mean, he's got out there. He's got to start. And that first inning, you're like, holy smokes, bases juiced, one out. And like, oh, my God, what are we doing? And then all of a sudden, you know, one run. And you're like, all right. And next thing you know, there's six zeros put up after that. Or two runs in the first, and there's six zeros put up after that. So it's – That's what
he's
makes
always can't do that in the seventh or eighth inning. You can do it in the first. But
but he is. There's a little bit of risk with him. I get it, and he always seems to kind of flounder around at first, and everything is like a crazy situation. You know, cliffhanger. You know, guys on first and third, and then he can't find strikes. Next thing you know, he gets out of the jam.
Yeah.
And like, how in the hell did he figure this out? And so I understand Cora saying, listen, I got to turn away. I got to close my eyes because I don't even want to see it.
You know,
I know
times,
how it's going to end, but I don't feel like going through it.
He can get you when your guy's in scoring position. You know, like, even like last night, you know, it's like first and third, and you're sitting there saying, all I need is a fly ball.
Right.
And there comes this floater, and you become overly aggressive because you're thinking, just float one in on there for me. Put me on a tee. All you got to do is, you know what I mean? And you become over-aggressive looking for that. You know, and then maybe you swing at a bad pitch and you pop it up or whatever it might be. So it's, again, I like him in the fifth or the sixth inning more in particular.
Different
to go
look.
6-7. And if he's cruising, maybe the eight, maybe. But just flat out the eighth inning guy, that makes me a little nervous.
I'm going to have to learn how to look away and knowing that he's going to find it. And then after that, he did an outstanding job.
Can't do that in the eighth inning, no, in the postseason. All right, 617-779-7937.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
David is one of the best pitchers in the big leagues. Now he struggled. He had that tough outing in New York. Then he went to Kansas City and started making adjustments. He lost his control one inning, but then after that, he's been working on a daily basis to be this guy. I have heard and read what he had to say about, you know, like, this is the guy that the organization signed a few years ago, and he's here now. He's been amazing, and he's been very important.
He's been terrific. He's been wonderful. He's been great this year. He has reinvented himself. He has done it all, and he's even saying, like, rational things now in the last few days. All of that is true. But do you trust him in the postseason?
And yes.
And what indication is there other than hoping and wishing and begging and please bail our ass out?
You kind of
– it's the only thing you've got right now. It's the only thing you've got.
So you can't be wishy-washy. You can't be on the fence. It's either a yes or a no.
He scares the hell out of me in the postseason.
It's a yes or a no. Okay, I don't care if you're scared. It's a yes or a no. On record right now, Glenn Ordway. You believe in him in the postseason, yes or no?
I can't.
Okay, you're such a turd, man.
How am I a
turd? Question.
I'm afraid. Can't
is
a negative answer.
Is that what it is?
Do you want yes or no?
You know what? I want you to take a break again. I want you to put your tie back on. Okay, I want you to leave the room.
All right, goodbye. See ya.
Louis?
What?
Lou?
Yes.
Louie?
What?
Give me an answer, yes or no. I want to know right now, okay? I told you the Patriots are going to go 11-5. I'm sticking to it. Even though they're going to go undefeated, I'm sticking with 11-5. So you tell me right now.
We've got a turd in the punch bowl.
I need you to word this properly.
No, I'm not giving you an answer.
Why aren't you giving him a hard time?
No,
I don't give you a yes
Christian,
or no when you're
really
scared.
No, he's at least
scared of
you. You're afraid of baseball.
It's really simple.
That's what it is.
Do I trust David Price in October? The answer is no.
Okay. Wow. I just hold on.
Same
hold
answer
on.
I
Wait
gave
a second.
You.
You're a turd.
It's so easy to do.
Okay, no.
Let me. No.
Same
you
answer.
You said I can't. It's a That's, yes.
I can't is a negative answer.
Do
it's a no.
You trust him? Yes at? Or no? Just say yes or no.
No.
Okay. That's it. Why is that so hard? Yeah. You are so stubborn.
I can't is being negative on it, saying no.
No, you're like
you're
you can't
turd.
Interpret
like,
it.
I can't. But I
listen,
can't do
I mean,
it. I don't
I'm just
know.
Saying, like,
I'm nervous.
I don't know.
I don't want to be all in, and then someone's gonna hold me accountable.
You're
baby.
The fanboy today. You're all in, even though you've got
nothing.
You've got nothing to back it up. Nothing.
Hope.
Well,
I would like to say, and I think you kind of touched on it a little bit. Okay, it's just it's the same way he's looked in past Septembers at the end of the season. However, I would say this has got a little bit different smell to it. It's a good smell. It's not like the stinky smell that we've seen before. It's got a good smell. It's got a good aroma to it. I feel like it feels different to me.
I'm sorry.
What do you want me to do?
I would agree that it's a different smell for his 3 years in Boston. This is the best he's thrown. He is locked in right now. So you know, I should, but given his history, I got to see it first. Pretty sure those people in 2015 up in Toronto had a similar smell.
Yes.
Those last 2 months of the year. All right. That's all. So it doesn't. I don't mind you sitting there saying I have confidence in him. That's fine.
Fanboy.
But if your reasoning is because he's throwing the ball real well right now, it doesn't really hold much water because of history.
It's fine. You want me to go get you your Red Sox cap?
I got my cap.
You can take the Dodgers.
I'm an official member of the Boston Red Sox now, and you're not. So you always wanted to be.
Talk about underachieving.
So now two guys are going to end up playing for the Red Sox, and one guy in this room will never play anything.
Right. Talk about underachieving. There's no team that's underachieving more than the Dodgers right now.
I stopped paying
all the money they're paying those guys.
You know what the Dodgers have done? You know what LA fans? This is what LA fans. This is what LA fans do. So the Dodgers were the hot ticket. You know, signing a bunch of big name guys, spend a lot of money. Everybody wanted to go to the games. Magic's involved. He's there at the games. He's sitting in the front row. You know, right behind the home plate. And then LeBron James comes, and they're like, you know what? Basketball season started. You know, we were kind of done with them. Football is starting. The Rams are good. The Chargers are okay. They're giving up on the Dodgers, and that is what LA people do.
By the way, I'd pay anything for those Tommy Lasorda and Magic Johnson conversations. You know, when the two of them are sitting.
Is Tommy Lasorda still alive?
Yes. Yes, he is.
No, I know. I met him here once. I met him here, maybe 8 years
ago. In Boston?
Yeah.
Interesting guy.
I treated him just like Ice Cube. I was like, do you know that I used to play
for California. I played in LA.
I grew up in California.
Here's Pat Munson next up here on OMF. Hey, Pat.
Hey, how are you?
What's good, up?
Pat. I just wanted to call and get my input on Stephen Wright. And just, I'm a young kid. I'm 21. And growing up, I always was watching Wake and then like R.A. Dickey when he went on that run with Cy Young. And at every point, I just felt like, you know, they were ready to implode. Just knuckleballers. I don't trust them. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing him come in as, like, a long relief guy, but I wouldn't mess around with him in the eighth inning. Last night, you saw one of the pitches nest in the other in slow motion, and San Leon, like, just barely caught the ball. And if that got by, it would have put the guy in second round third. It scares me, especially.
But understand, Pat, they're doing all of this out of necessity. Now, last night, eighth inning, I think, was an experiment to see what he'd be like in the eighth. I think ultimately it's probably going to be Barnes or maybe Kelly if he gets continues to get his act together here in the next few weeks. But this is out of necessity. I don't think there was ever a plan of using the knuckleball pitcher out of the bullpen. But look at what else they've got. What do you do?
I would rather see Kelly than Barnes, I'm a Kelly guy. I like the hard throwing guys, and I think
unfortunately, so doesn't Dombrowski, and that's probably his biggest fault. To be perfectly honest with you, it really comes down to philosophy. Now, from what I understood, what I was told was at the deadline there were some good pitchers, that he wasn't interested in because he didn't throw hard enough. He wants power, and if you look at this bullpen; it's put together with power. There's no question. When he showed up, the Red Sox bullpen was the softest thrown bullpen in all of baseball, if you remember.
Yeah.
And he brought back, and here comes all the power, and that's great. But if all you want is power, what you're doing is, to me, you're fighting upstream. You know, you're just chasing. Because everyone's got power. Everyone's got what you got. You didn't do anything great by putting the guys out there throw 97 to 100. Everyone's got those. Now do you got guys that can get guys out? You know, do you have guys that can handle the moment? So when you're trying to shy away from a guy that might be a good pitcher, but, you know, he's only 93 with sink, change-up, slider to give you a different look, and you don't want anything to do with him because he doesn't hit the gun, you know, to me, that's a philosophical issue. And I think that's, from what I heard, there were some guys that were just like, I think Neshek was one of them. Nah, he doesn't throw hard enough. I'd love to see that son of a bitch throwing like freaking three sidearm, whatever it is, just giving guys a different look, right? Even a guy like Sergio Romo. Do I trust him to close? No, but how about flip those sliders up there for an inning? But you know what? They don't throw hard.
Well, when you're went out and got Price. You thought Price was going to be the hard-throwing guy. Now he's the guy that throws 94, throws that cutter, and his changeup is tremendous. Last night, the changeup was tremendous.
But as a hitter, from one inning on to inning nine, everybody I face throws 95.
It's all the same. Looks the same.
I mean, after uncomfortable, a while, is 96 right? impressive?
Yeah, you're never uncomfortable.
Does 97 rattle me? When all I do is face 95, 96? No, but you know what does?
Get used to
a split, because no one's got one. A really good changeup, because no one in that pen's got one. That might rattle me a little bit, but no one's got one.
All right, let's go to Chris in Portland. Hey, Chris.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys.
Pleasure.
It's interesting you mentioned about power pitching, but Kimbrough last night, all he was doing was throwing breaking stuff.
Well,
trying to stay away from what's-his-face.
I got to be honest with you. There's a lot of things going on here as far as so. Like Kimbrough might sit there and say, the most important thing for him is to get that breaking ball over for a strike. So you know what? I'm going to throw it tonight. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's a spring training game, but, you know, he himself, that curveball for strike early in counts is very important for him. He needs to throw one for a strike. He needs to bury one for the strikeout. So he might be going out there trying to find that curveball.
He was leaning on it heavily last night. But the point I want to make is that even you guys have a lot of doubts, too, with this Red Sox team, despite their, you know, winning, say, 110 games, 112 games this year. I mean, I'd like to see their offense perform in the postseason. You know, I mean, look at last year. And look what they did against, you know, the Indians, the Astros, the A's this year. I mean, not a ton of success. Right, and those are the teams they're going to be playing.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
That's the least thing I'm concerned.
The American League playoff teams, head to head against each other, against those playoff teams, they're all at right around 500.
Yeah, there's no
Cleveland, Houston, Oakland. There's nothing Cleveland. There's nothing crazy. And Boston's like right in the middle of all of them.
Put it this way: the Red Sox are 15-15 against those other four teams that are in the postseason. The Houston Astros are the best. They're 22-18.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. So they're four games over 500. You're at 500. The Yankees are 18-15. You still got Cleveland and New York left. But are you going to judge them on this Yankee stuff? I mean, it's over, right? You see what they're doing now. They're bringing guys in left and right that they might not use. Like, to me, the last week of the season, if the Yankees sweep the Red Sox and get to the wild card, are we going to put that in that record and say they can't win? No. You know, because Brian Johnson, Hector Velasquez, and Drew Pomeranz were starting.
I don't think I'm as worried about the hitting. And even last year when he's talking about the hitting, it really was the starting rotation that blew up. But the stuff he was talking about, the breaking ball stuff, that was mainly when a Smoke came into the game, right? When he came in.
He essentially pitched around
that's
Smoke.
That's what he did. And nothing was in the strike zone.
No, people, here he's walking another guy. And
he
I'm more
kills
concerned
his
with,
fastball.
You know, going 3-0 in the first hitter, that ain't good.
Right.
But the Smoke, you saw that coming a mile away. You got a one-run lead.
Right.
You got Smoke up there, and you're looking on deck saying, I can control this other guy. I am not grooving Smoke. A 3-1 fastball, even if it is 98.
And he kills the fastball, and he's done it. He's hit two home runs against him, and that's what that was about.
He pitched around.
Steve is in Shrewsbury. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up,
Steve?
I got a point for Glenn, I think. Good 70s reference. Glenn's, we know he still wears the same hairstyle he had in the 70s.
Double bottom.
True.
Same jeans. Yeah.
If you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with.
Steven Stills.
You know what I mean?
Love the one you're with.
David Price has gotten us this far. He's been doing this great. Right now, I feel more comfortable about him going into the postseason than I do Chris Sale, because you don't know what Chris Sale's going to bring right now. We don't know if we're going to be able to get more than four innings out of him.
Okay, but you're just throwing the obvious out there, Steve. Because one guy, I know, one guy is probably... Yeah, but one guy is probably going to start in the postseason. The other guy, we still don't even know if he's going to start in the postseason.
Right. But I feel more comfortable right now David Price being our number one starter. I mean, if he's going to be our number one going into the postseason, so be it. We have to embrace that, and we have to get behind him.
But nobody's saying that you're not going to get behind him. Let me ask you a different question. Do you feel confident in David Price pitching in the postseason this year? See what I mean?
You sound like you're
happy with the one you love, honey. Love the one you with.
But see what I mean? But everybody's doing the same thing you're doing.
No, I'm saying, will he be successful or not? Yes or no?
No.
I'm going to say yes.
Oh, that's
you're
a different
saying
story.
No,
that's
no,
a different
no.
story.
I'll take it for I'll make it easier for you, okay, so you don't get nervous. I'll start with Lou. Start with Sweet Lou.
Good,
okay,
Lou,
will he be successful in the postseason? Yes or no?
You did change the wording on me. No.
Okay, fine.
Well,
okay.
Because I'm going on history until he does. And I won't believe it.
No.
Okay, yes. Okay, we'll see who's right. We'll see. We got it. We got a yes in here. We got a yes.
100%.
We got a yes by Andy. Okay, all the smart people say yes.
Yep.
They're just trying to get you to the break. 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.